Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, Tongva Tribe Elder and Tribal Officer Julia Louise Bogany.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Michael Whitehorse Aviles. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
My life works amazingly when I pay attention, and sadly, most of the time, I think I'm not paying attention enough. So here's a fine example. I knew exactly who we were having on the show today, and I couldn't wait, and I was all excited, and I knew that we were going to be talking about all kinds of wonderful things, but I didn't think about one particular aspect of what I didn't think to talk about, and this is what happened this weekend. Out of the blue, I accepted an invitation, which I rarely do, to go to dinner only because I don't have the time right now, or I'm not taking the time, whatever it is, but I took the time to accept an invitation by some friends who wanted to take me to an Italian restaurant. And they thought, oh, Filippo, you're going to enjoy this. And I don't normally go to Italian restaurants because my mom is an amazing Italian cook. She taught me how to cook and I love to cook. So if I'm going to have Italian, I'd rather cook it myself for the most part, because my mother was Sicilian, and so was my father, from Sicily. And they were so proud of their culture, and they taught me the religion and the culture and the music and all these things, and definitely the food. So very few restaurants can really make it like my family did. So, but I accepted the invitation, and I went to an Italian restaurant. And while I was sitting there, and I was tasting the food, I said to my friends, this food tastes very authentic. It doesn't taste Italian, it tastes Sicilian. And so when the waitress came over, I said, excuse me, she ended up being the owner. I said, excuse me, where do these recipes come from? And she says, they're from my mom. And I said, wait a minute, you're not Italian. She says, no, I'm Sicilian. And we started speaking my cultural Sicilian language that I grew up speaking with my native parents that grew up in Sicily that brought it here with them. And all of a sudden, I felt like home. I felt like culture. I felt it connected to this person, and it was so special to me. And she, with tears in her eyes, said, she says, I feel like I'm at home talking to you. This is an amazing experience. Who knew this was going to happen tonight? And she walked away, and my friends, who didn't understand a word I was saying, said, what just happened? And I said, you don't understand. She's not Italian. She's Sicilian, from Sicily. And they said, oh, well, what does that mean? She's mafia? And the energy in my heart and the moment, I thought, you know, I couldn't get upset with them, because that's all they knew about my culture. And maybe that was my mistake, for not having shared more with them. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I live in Los Angeles, California. How much do I know about the culture that was here in this land before me, and the ones that were here before them? And today we have some beautiful people who say that they've been here since the turn of the Ice Age. And all of a sudden, my world has opened up in a way that is, I'm sure they'll explain, and I can't wait. I mean, I'm getting emotional just thinking how much there is to know and to learn, and how connected to this land these people are. So I can't wait for this conversation with our guest and our musical guest here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Oh, we are back. I needed to breathe after that. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark. Mark.
I'm still catching my breath. You know, I'm so excited for tonight's show, and it was such a blessing to meet our guest during a ceremony down in Venice a few weeks back, and it was the same thing. I started hearing these stories, and I've been in Los Angeles a long time, but I was hearing things that I had never heard, and it reminded me of so many conversations we have on Life Changes, because we're taught histories from certain perspectives. Whether those histories are completely correct or not, whether it's well-intended or not, isn't even the point. It continues to change as we learn more and we go further back and we go further back and things are discovered and understood. And so it's so exciting to kind of unearth this knowledge for us, of obviously those that have known this and have carried this knowledge forward. But to me, I've always felt a reverence and a connection to the Native American peoples, and I'm extremely excited.
I'm excited, too. Thank you so much for sharing that. As soon as you met our guest, you said, we have to have her on the show. She's so special. And now I, right away, in a few minutes of meeting her, I felt the same thing. So yes, we are so much connected in that. And, well, she is a Tongva elder and a Tongva tribal officer, which is huge. If one thinks about it, that would be like the Secretary of State. Just amazing to be able to have a conversation with her in the studio today. She is Julia Louise Bogani.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting. While I was sharing that story, I'm reminded of something that you said, that my friends knew about this mafia and the connection there with, you know, with the culture, etc., through the movies. And interestingly enough, you should say your tribe never even made it to the movies,
right?
Which may be a good thing, actually, if you think about it.
Right. There's no false about us.
Nobody knows anything bad, right?
Right. Nobody. No. It's all good.
It's all good, and it's all good
as we're learning.
As
it's
we're
good.
Learning. Well, interestingly enough, I can't even fathom what it means that when you say my heritage, my culture, my family, my people have been here since the turn of the Ice Age. What does that mean to you? Because I can't even fathom.
To me, it's a powerful, surviving through everything that has happened in America from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
It's about survivor.
Wow.
The people have survived even when people didn't know they were here. We survived through it all.
And you're still here.
And we're still here. And still powerful.
And still powerful.
Yes.
You know, actually, let's talk about power for a moment, because in relation to elder, a lot of people think that because one gets older in age, they become an elder. You have something to say on that.
Right. So an elder is not somebody that's old and needs help. An elder is a child, could be a child. So I have a 11-year-old great-granddaughter who knows everything that I know and is learning. And she actually has texted me this week, I'm going to follow your footprints. That means a lot to me.
Wow.
Because, you know, this is my great-grandchild, and I'm 69, and yes, I'm an elder of age, and because I you know, knowledgeable about my tribe. But she's an elder because she already has it in her heart. It's what's in our heart that we can teach other people that makes us wise, right?
Wow.
It's all about wisdom and what you learn and how you teach and how you communicate with other people that makes you an elder.
And how did you learn? Who did you learn from?
I owe everything I do to my grandma, who died when I was two, but I always heard that she really wanted me. And so I felt that I needed to give her something. My name is Julia, and I'm named after her. Mm-hmm. So that's empowering to me, that I have to live up to that name of who she was as a woman, mm-hmm. and I have to be just as greater than her to give her that gift back. And so for me, the gift that my great-granddaughter would say that is a gift. Mm. That they see, young people see something different in you, you know, and see what is accomplished.
Now, it's interesting that you got it from your grandmother and your granddaughter is getting it from you. And I'm seeing a female lineage here. Let's talk about females in the tribe, the Tongva tribe.
Well, a couple of years ago, I set out to find the men, the chief's line. And I found a lot of women that did changes in Los Angeles. They made changes for the tribe. We have the first woman chief, Victoria Reed, who married Hugo Reed, which is Scottish, and I call it the first marriage prenup because he left, wrote 21 letters to the Star newspaper in order to keep our tribe alive. Mm. And then there was the lady you see on Avenue 26 on the blue line, the first woman, Tongva woman, to have a job for the Department of Water and Power in Los Angeles, who delivered water door to door to each person, family that was there. Mm. And so there's Azusa. She's the Father Crispy named her Azusa, which means blessed miracle, because she could lay hands on people and heal them. Hmm. You know, there's Toy Perina, who was the revolutionist of the missions, helping our people get out of there from being in an encampment, what we call, right? Hmm. And being prisoners and slaves there, she was helping them out. So there's all these women that are powerful.
And so it sounds more like a matriarchal society than a patriarchal society.
Yes, it is the women are empowering. You know, when we want to tear nations down, we tear them down through the men. And that's the way it's done. So,
but
women,
it's the women who call.
The women become stronger. The women are stronger. They deal with whatever they have to deal with, and they help the men. It's not because they're above the men, but they're the ones that support the men to get to where they're going. So they're like the lifter-upters, right, of the men. And they're lifted up by the women. So it's not that the women are taking over that place of the man, but it's lifting up of the men.
You know, there's so much that she says in every sentence. It's like we can go 400 different directions and talk about so many different things that I want to know. Prisoners. So you were here since the Ice Age. There were a lot of you here.
Yes.
And then?
A lot of people died during the missions, because people brought diseases here. We were there was a way to keep people to build those missions, right? It's not like we knew how to build a building. They had to bring people, and they had to force. It was a forced labor. I always say it wasn't a sign out here saying we're building a Walmart, come work. It was like, no, this is you picked up the small villages. You took the people from those villages. We have the stories where they threw the children over the rocks to make the people work, to do the work otherwise. So a lot of our children died before age 9. And today we still kill children at age 9 because that's when you make them make those little missions. And so it is continuing, right?
How can you?
We need a few more hours.
And how is it that you're able to find this spirit, this energy, and how you share this?
There's power in who we are. Knowing who you are inside allows you to respect everyone for who they are. I believe that's where respect comes from. We can respect every culture if we are definitely founded in who we are inside, right? Who that person is, what your culture is. If you have that power, you can empower anyone.
Wow. Okay, that could be the show right there. I mean, that already completes an amazing show. But thankfully, there's more. And so we'll be back with Julia Louise Bogani. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
Okay. You're not just saying that.
No, I'm
saying it right?
It's
okay.
It's fine.
No, I'm not saying it right.
Yes, you are.
Okay. And when we come back, actually, I want to know what Tongva means and more and so much more. So when we come back here on the Life Changes Show, right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and Julia Louise Bogany is our guest. I said it right. Yay. She is a Tongva elder and tribal officer. What does Tongva mean?
Tongva means people of the earth. And so this, we belong to the earth, right? But so we don't see, so our territory encompasses the entire L.A. Basin. We meet up with the Hachaman in San Diego and with the Chumash in Santa Barbara. But it wasn't like, this is our land. It's this is what God, the Creator, entrusted to us to take care of. And we allowed a lot of bad things to come in. So it's our responsibility to pray good to come here. And not to, and so that's why people have us do ceremonies in respect of the fact that in order to prosper, you must go to the people of the land, right? Not we don't call it ownership. We call it the gatekeepers.
And in that territory is also the Channel Islands, right?
Right.
Santa Catalina and right?
San Nicolas and San Clemente and parts of Santa Barbara.
So the tribe was many, and at this point, we're talking how many people?
We're talking 3,000 a day from maybe 95,000 people, you know, and the mission took care of a lot of people dying during the mission time. Very few were, there was not hardly anyone left on the islands, and very few throughout the L.A. Basin. But then came Spain, and then came the Mexican era where they started the ranchos and they started selling us a slave to be ranch hands.
Literally slaves?
Yes, literally slaves. They sold us downtown Los Angeles for hire. And then after 10 years, you're supposed to receive some property, but that never happened, right? And then after that, then came the gold rush to California. And that's mostly where people know, you know, might know about us, but that history of California starts with the gold rush, not with the Tongva.
What is taught as history
right.
of California. But there was history, obviously, before with the Spanish, and obviously before that, too. So it's interesting that when I'm talking to people, I try and share a little history, and my history went back to the Spaniards without even thinking or knowing of more. So I would say to people, do you know that Los Angeles was originally named Santa Maria de los Angeles, which is St. Right. Mary of the Angels? And people wouldn't know that, and I was proud to share some history. Well, then you come around, right, and you said, did you know that the name before that?
The name before that was Yagna.
Yagna.
Right. That which, was Los Angeles.
That was Los Angeles.
Right. So.
And all the cities that we have names for today.
Some of them still have our names, like Cucamonga. You know, Topanga. So there's cities that still, Azusa, of course, right? And there's cities that still have our names, but there's a lot of cities that don't.
But so, the territory is the same, pretty much.
Right, still same territory. But it was the territory was divided by the ranches and became names of the ranches, you know, in between.
Because like an infrastructure had been built there or a village had already been built there?
Right.
Or...
So Tobinga is Pomona, but Pomona encompasses 9 cities within Pomona.
Wow. Right?
But the original name was Tobinga.
Wow.
So.
And how, it just boggles my mind. It really does.
Yeah. There's so much we don't know.
And thank you for sharing in the spirit that you're sharing. I feel there's so much more to learn. You know, when you talk about slavery and you know, to some people they might say, well, it's not this, it's not that. But then you bring in some interesting facts. Like, let's talk about something that I never considered, pedigree.
Right. So if you look at in general, what is no one comes up to you and says, how much blood do you have, right?
Yeah.
As a Sicilian, nobody asks you that.
Yeah.
As a native, they'll say how much blood do you have? And who do they ask for blood quantums from? From horses, dogs, and Native Americans. It's like there has to be a card with proof of how to be Indian, you have to have a certain amount of blood. Yet no other race is asked that question. Hmm. It's only animals,
yeah,
right?
She's looking at me like, right? No, it's not right. So what does that mean today? Because you're recognized, your tribe is recognized in the state of California, though.
It's recognized by the state.
Right.
We are not a federal recognized tribe because when the agents came from Washington, they came to count how many Indians were at the mission, and they said, there's only Spanish. That's only because we had assimilated in order to survive in Los Angeles by speaking Spanish. So a lot of us speak Spanish, and people will say, if you're Indian, why do you speak Spanish? Well, who was at the missions? What were they speaking there? They were speaking Spanish.
Right.
And that's how we survived in order to get around and continue to live.
In so doing, your tribe has lost a lot of the Tongva language, correct?
Right. But the last 10 years, I'm part of the language committee. We
right.
have been regaining the language.
Right. You're actually not just part of the language committee. I literally got tired reading how many things you are a part of. I thought, wow, when does she stop? So several committees and organizations include the Chaffee College, Equity Council, Pomona Human Relations Board member, the Riverside School District Native American consultant, Californian Indian Education Association, even the Californian Indian Basket Weaving Association. It's a real thing. And you're president of Residential Motivators, which is your own consulting firm, and more.
Right. So I'm the elder in residence at Claremont Colleges, and I teach at all 7 colleges there. So, in colleges throughout the country.
Well, you're invited to speak throughout the world as well.
And, yes.
And what makes you do all this? Where do you get this?
I'm trying to show people we exist. You know, I'm trying to do that. You know, we all come to this world with something to do. And that's my job, is to show who we are.
So you do it tirelessly.
Right. It's just a gift that I have received from the Creator. That's what I'm supposed to do.
With the same smile on.
With the joy in her heart. I was just about to say that. Absolutely. And your 11-year-old granddaughter, what is her name, by the way?
Marissa. Her native name is Dancing Butterfly, and she's 11. And so she's learned everything. And she says, I will continue in your footsteps.
And your native name is? Means?
Sweet Wise One.
Sweet Wise One. And you've had that ever since you were a child?
No. So my name is Julia after my grandma. Mm-hmm. So I had to live up to that respect of they named me after my grandma. And then I was given the name in which was Loving Heart Woman. So I had to live up to that one, to have that loving heart. Mm-hmm. And then I have to be wise about what I say.
Oh, and you're saying, please don't give me any more names.
Yeah, I can barely live up to those. You know?
Wow. So how is the message being received, or how much of an impact do you feel you've made so far?
I think quite a bit. You know, there's a lot of murals out there. I think we could have a sit on all the villages we have. We have a lot of monk villages throughout L.A. There's the baskets on the freeway, on the 210 freeway in Arcadia that's holding up the gold line, you know.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Like so I work with a lot of artists. Yes.
Really?
So, wow. yes, trying to just get out there, right, and show there's a presence. So right now at the college, that's what I'm working on a map that will show where you can find us.
Wow. And is there a map of showing what was before?
It's going to be.
It's going to be. So that's one of the things.
It's going to be. Yeah, that's how I'm working on that this semester.
You know, the challenge I'm feeling here is that how this is done without, I'm not feeling anger from you. I'm not feeling resentment from you. And I know you had an answer to that earlier. It's just to me, this seems so powerful, the way you're going about this.
Yes. I think it's important. And that's why I say it's important for us to know who we are. We know who we are. Can't nothing stop us, right? We can go. I can continue to teach till I can't teach. But I already know I have empowered those other generations to come, to continue to take the torch and keep going.
So it's not about just today for you.
Right.
It truly is about the generations to
come.
Right,
what we leave to the future.
And you also have a very strong sense of the past, obviously.
Right.
And this is something that, as an American culture, I don't feel like we really have. And obviously, for various reasons, we're not taught it, or purposely not taught it, or what have you. So how could somebody who is born here and doesn't know anything about their culture, or they just call themselves a word that's used, I'm a mutt, you know, mm-hmm. and they don't really have a base. Is there a way that we could establish some kind of a
so
base?
So I always say I work for the underdog in me. So my dad is Azteca, and his parents are Azteca and Spaniard, and my mom was a Hachaman, which is a tribe from San Diego and Tongva. So it's like, I'm working for the underdog, the ones that's not seen, you know.
Right.
And that's who I identify with. Doesn't mean I don't know nothing about the other people in me, right? Everybody else is in my DNA, I know. But I work for that underdog.
So you chose.
Yeah.
Or that's your mission. Mm-hmm. And so what you might be saying is to people is find something within your...
What empowers you.
What empowers you. Mm-hmm. Know who you are, you are, know what's in there.
Right. Everybody's important that's in us. It just depends. You just have to do that work, the one that just, it'll gravitate to you and pull you in who you are.
So as an elder, do you find yourself not just being an elder to people in your tribe, but also other people come to you like mama or grandma or something like that?
A lot of people. I have a lot of women's groups, a lot of people that I empower in the community. I teach mental health in the community, so people call, you know. But it's okay. And sometimes you wonder, who do you call, you know? But it's like, I'm empowered. I read every day.
Yeah, who do you call?
My creator. Yeah, I read. Huh? I read like 8 books at a time. I'm constantly reading, constantly, you know, helping, because that's what my mission is. We all come to this earth to do something that's required of us. So that's my mission.
Wow,
good for you.
If you want to learn more about what Julia is doing and what the tribe is doing, because they're becoming more and more visible in the community here in Los Angeles, yes, and growing, you can go to Gabrielinosprings.com. Let me spell it. Is it GABRIELINOS or INO springs.com? You know what? We'll have it on our website for everybody to go and experience. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the fun things that they do culturally within the Tongva community for everybody, actually. So you'll want to hear that when we come back. And in a little bit, we'll have live music here by another Tongva elder, Michael Whitehorse Aviles. This is really exciting. Be back with us here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukov, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Julia Louise
Bogany.
You didn't have to whisper. Julia Louise Bogany. We've touched on so much, and I feel like this is just a conversation that we've started because I am fascinated and interested, and my heart's involved, and thank you so much for sharing in the way and showing up in the way that you do. It's beautiful. Now, there are some things that you do culturally as a tribe, and you lead some of these. Could you tell us what we can look forward to?
On March 25th, we'll be having a water honoring ceremony. So everyone can bring a vessel to put water in. We're going to drink water that day and honor. We'll have people speaking on water from their tribes and land, what's important, and how we feel about that. It's from 10 to 2 o'clock. And then on the first Saturday in May, every first Saturday, we have the Nature Center open at Curuwanga Springs, which is Santa Monica, in Santa Monica. What did you try to call it? Gabrieleno Tongva Springs. We call it Curuwanga Springs. And anyway, so there we'll have basket weaving. We're going to be making pine needle baskets.
Wow.
On the first Saturday in May. We also do Mompetam at the Aquarium of the Pacific every third weekend in September. We're there 2 days.
And what is Mompetam?
Mompetam means saltwater people.
Saltwater people.
And so the whole aquarium turns into the saltwater people. You have the tribes from up north all the way to San Diego.
Wow.
And we're all there, and I do soapstone carvings there with children. about 900 kids a day, so it's really fun.
Wow.
So all the shows are storytelling. It's a great event to attend. I also do my tribe does the dancing all at the Acorn Festival at the Santa Ana Botanical Gardens in November.
Wow.
So those are couple of things that we do.
And they can learn all about that on the website?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll have the website on our page on the Life Changes show for everybody to go to, but otherwise it's Gabrielino Springs.
Yes.
Okay, .com. Okay. Julia, what a pleasure. And this, as I'm saying goodbye to this moment, I'm reminded that I asked her, may I call you Elder Julia? And she said, no, call me Julia. And that's humble, and that's knowing who she is. She doesn't need to hear it that way. So thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Thank you, Julia.
Honor is ours. Honor as well. Wow. Well, from all these community events to other community events, Mark, what's happening out there in the world?
No, we want to give a few shout-outs to our partners like we do each show. And I'd like to bring some recognition to Brent Hahn right here at Studio NoHo. You know, he makes us sound so fantastic each week, in and out, week in and week out. But there's so much more that the studio provides in terms of their services. They're an award-winning recording, designing, and mixing of radio spots and original music. Please see them at studio-noho.net. Also want to give a shout-out to Radio Anatolia. .us, Radio Anatolia, and our good friend Ilhan Ozulu at radioanatolia.us. And for transformational art and empowering gifts, please check out darfreelandstudio.com, darfreelandstudio.com for transformational art and empowering gifts.
Nice. Well, thank you to all of them. And now from one elder to, is it all right to call Dorothy and... Okay, well, anyway, to Dorothy. well, I'll just stop right there.
Well, now that we've delineated elders being 11 and
right, that's
in,
right, that's
in Jet's
right.
case, 9.
Thank you.
So, yes.
And so our elder and the Ask Dorothy segment that we all love. Mark,
absolutely.
What's our question?
Dorothy Tracy from Los Angeles asks, Dorothy, I've had multiple people close to me die recently. Nothing I do seems to make this any easier. Can you help?
Yes, I can. Death is an illusion. Our souls live forever. I've been here on Earth many times before this lifetime, and I've actually experienced 9 near-death experiences so far this interesting life. So I'm blessed because I know we all return to the light. The light is where we come from, and it's where we go when these bodies die. So knowing that all of my loved ones go home to Source and are enveloped in unconditional love, it's hard for me to be sad for them. I also know that if I choose to get quiet enough, I can feel them and experience their love. Just recently, one of the most amazing young men who ever walked on this planet passed on. He died off the coast of Florida. He was dedicated to his mission of saving sharks, and he was in the process of doing a follow-up movie from his first one, which was Shark Water. And many of his friends were so distressed, and they called me crying and described their suffering because he wasn't here anymore. And I encouraged them to focus on the love they shared with him, the gifts that he gave us all, and to follow his example of finding their passion and their mission and devoting their lives to living their missions, just as he did. And I encourage all of us to celebrate the lives and the times we were blessed to spend with our loved ones who leave before us. They're happy at the light, and we can choose to be happy for them and happy for the blessings that their lives were. To each of us. We just lost a good friend yesterday. People say lost. I feel his love, and I know he's in a place where he is loved. So let's love our friends, and let's celebrate the good times.
Wow, thank you.
Well, thank you, Dorothy. And with that, We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, live music here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show by Michael Whitehorse Aviles, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Julia. And actually, thanks to her, she invited for us a musical guest who is Michael Whitehorse Aviles. He is more than just a musician. He's also an elder of the Tongva tribe and so much more. So we welcome Michael Whitehorse Aviles. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can we just call you White Horse?
You can do that too.
It just feels like that's
feels right.
That's how you resonate.
Well, that's that I was named after my great or my grandfather or granduncle, who is Michael White Horse, and I'm the third one in the family. Wow.
So you're White Horse the third.
Yeah. Well, we don't go. I don't have that.
You don't do that. Okay.
No. But yeah, it's a name that we took back. It's actually in the family. Before my father passed, I asked his permission to take the name back because they changed our name to Spanish name.
You know, I love this, the ask permission and you know, how they feel this strong, you feel this strong sense of connection to the past, to your heritage, respect.
Right, right.
And you as an elder yourself, what is your mission?
Well, the last 2-3 years, I've been working with kids. I love teaching kids about the culture like Julia does.
Mm-hmm.
I presided over reburials, and I actually did a Native funeral that I was asked to do.
Well,
and
of somebody that had already passed?
No, current.
Oh, current. Oh,
and,
okay.
Something I didn't ask for, but it happened, and I was blessed by doing that. And I also am a tribal monitor that overseas work areas where they're digging to make sure they don't destroy artifacts or remains.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Right.
Yeah, because that happens a lot, I would imagine.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So much we don't know. But you have graciously come on to play the flute, and it's interesting that when you play, people listen, what is it? Is it the instrument? Is it what do you think is happening?
I think a lot of people tell me after I play that I've actually had people tell me that I take them to another place and that their souls are like comforted and they just feel so relaxed and it's just soothing to them and they forget about their problems when I play. And that comforting to me, knowing that they enjoy what they hear.
Wow. It sounds like more than enjoying. It sounds like something actually is happening, and I can't wait to have it happen here in the studio. But before we do, I noticed you have what looks like four different flutes, and they're all wooden. Did you make these yourself?
Or? No, I didn't. No? I didn't.
Okay.
No.
But they're handmade by somebody?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay. Within the tribe, I imagine.
No, there's flute makers that are out there, and, you know, there are some that are craftsmen, and they the sound that comes out of them is really good. Is, you know, that's what I look for when I look for a flute, and I just don't pick anything up. It just has to resonate with the tone and everything.
Wow.
So.
Of course. Well, you've picked one of the four up, and so I imagine you have something in mind that you're going
to
do with that.
Well, I'm going to probably try to get three songs, and in memory of what Julia, in tribute to what Julia was talking about, her ancestors, one of the songs that I do play is called Ancestors Call or Grandfather's Call, and it all came about in a dream that I had about him.
Okay.
So,
Here's Grandfather's Call by Michael Whitehorse Aviles live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. Thank you. Wow. Well, I went there. Wherever that was, thank you so much for taking us there. Michael Whitehorse Aviles, and that was Grandfather's...
Well, I had two songs mixed into it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I did. One was Grandfather's Call, right. And then I did Rain.
Ah, I thought, okay, because earlier he was going to say, I thought, wait, that sounds like, okay, very nice.
Yeah, I did Rain. That's it was called Reina, which is dedicated to the young lady that I did the services for, you know.
Wow.
And it goes to her family.
Wow.
And that'll be on my, I'm recording right now, and hopefully that'll be out by summer.
Very exciting. Please Wonderful. Do let us know. In the meantime, people could learn more about you and follow you on Facebook, right?
Yes.
On Facebook, you're Michael Aviles, right?
No, Michael Whitehorse Aviles.
Oh, Michael Whitehorse Aviles.
Right.
All right. So, Michael, there it is. We'll have it on our website as well. And so you'll announce that there that you have your CD out and you'll let us know as well?
It'll be when I get it done.
Okay.
Right. I do have some things done on it already, but it takes time.
Let me ask you, pick up the instrument, or how did you know this is an instrument you wanted to play?
Well, about 18 years ago, I had this urge to want to play the flute. And it just eating at me to play the flute. So 2 weeks after I picked up a little bamboo five-hole flute, I was playing it like I played it for about a couple of years. And it was just a feeling. It was just that urge. There's a saying that, you know, you don't find the flute. The flute finds you.
Right.
That's what we go by.
Right.
And my whole family, myself, we've been musicians since I was a little kid. Since I was 12 years old, I played other instruments as well. So my dad, my grandfathers, my brothers, we all played.
Yeah, well, you play that beautifully, and since now you combine two of the songs, that means we'll get to hear one more. What do you have for us now?
Well, the song that I'm gonna do, it's gonna be on the CD itself too. It's called Raven, and Raven is the keeper of the gate of the Western Gate, and it's when our ancestors crossed over, the ravens guarding them, and that's. If you know anything about ravens, they're the smartest bird you ever want to study or get to know.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
All the things I'm learning on this show today. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, here's Michael Whitehorse Aviles performing Raven on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo. Thank you. Wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you. I look forward to this CD. Michael Whitehorse Aviles, or Whitehorse, thank you so much for coming and sharing your music this way with us.
Thank you for having me. And it's I love to play, and I've been working with Julia on tribal things, and I've been involved helping her out and everything with things.
Well, that means we're going to see you again, because I know we're going to see Julia again, and so we look forward to that.
Yes, and more to come.
What a pleasure to have you on again on Facebook at Michael Whitehorse Aviles on Facebook. And Julia, a pleasure. I can't wait to hug you after the show.
Oh, thank you.
and to see you again. Thank you so much. I'm impressed with what you're doing and how you're doing it, and more power to you.
And so, inspired.
And inspired, indeed. So I more about that at GabrielinoSprings.com. All right. So with that, that is our show. A big thank you again to our technical director, Brent Hahn. Thank you to Doug Newsom, our program manager, BBS Radio. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Legere, and myself, your host, Filippo Voltaggio, I'm here to say, for all of you whose life has changed, like certainly ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.